have here is our dispensational timeline. And here we have the Gentile line. And here we have, of course, the favor of Israel line and God's dealing with mankind through human history. We have the cross of Christ, the resurrection to the right hand of the Father. We have the rapture of Christ coming back, meeting us in the air, going to the heavenly places with the body of Christ and His second coming. And then we have eternity, future. Your Ephesians 1:20 and 22, 1 Corinthians 15:25. I put this up here because I'm not as good as Pastor Steve. I can't break in my sermon and write up there at the same time. Over here we have eternity past. The text for our sermon this morning is Ezekiel 28:11-19. You can find that and stick your finger in it. Isaiah 14:12-14. You can find that also. And these other texts I put up there so when I'm saying them in my sermon, you got them already plugged in there. You can put them in your notes if you want to take notes. So here we have the title of the sermon is Satan in Eternity Past. And Satan comes out of eternity past and he's always there. He's always underneath everything. In your Bible. He's always behind this. And when you read your Bible, you'll come to Genesis 3:15. You'll find that Satan has usurped the heavens and usurped the earth. And in Genesis 3:15, God in heaven declares that he is going to contend with Satan for what is his. And that's what this storyline is. And if you think about that when you read your Bible, that it's a story of God contending with Satan, I think it would profit you in your understanding of the Word of God. Now, I'm supposed to plug the books. I'm getting a high sign back there. Of course, Pastor Steve has said that you and the online audience, if you'll write in, that these two books are being given away by the church. This one is Jesus Wasn't Talking to You by Terrence McLean. And if you want to have a free copy of this book, if you'll write in on the website and give your snail mail address. Some people write in and think they can get this on their email address. No, you have to have a postal address that we can send this to. The other book is the book that I wrote called Things I Have Been Taught from the Bible That Are Not True, coming out of dispensationalism into the grace message. And this is my story. Now, as we said, Satan's presence in the Bible is pre-Genesis all the way through the book of Revelation. And he has made a career out of opposing God in anything that is godly. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, our apostle tells us that we should be aware of Satan and his wiles, and we should be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Truth is, Satan has had great influence upon our creation and upon mankind. So to stand against him, he has a lot of experience in this area of opposing God and things that are godly. He's pretty good at what he does. So if we're going to stand against him, we need to know about him and who he is. We need to know things like, where did he come from? Why is he present? What are his strategies to assault us with? What deceits will he use against us? What tricks will he use to seduce us or to ensnare us or entrap us? And what advantage does Satan want to have over us? These are just a few of the things about Satan, and I'm not going to cover them all this morning, but they are some things that should be in our heads just swirling around that we should know about Satan. So this is going to be an introductory message about Satan and his wiles, and we're going to take a look at that, about who he was and where he came from. In Sun Tzu's book, Sun Tzu was a Chinese military general in the early days, and his book is called The Art of War. In the book, The Art of War, written by Sun Tzu, is required reading by military men going to West Point. And he teaches that you should know your enemy in that book. The Apostle Paul, our Apostle, taught us similar things when he said that Satan is seeking to have an advantage over us. By telling us that, he's telling us we should resist Satan. He says so much in Ephesians chapter 6. So there we go again. We need to know who he is, what his plan is, what his purpose is, what his goals are, and what his methods of achievement are. And the question that comes into my mind, and probably yours too, is what is God doing? So to understand what God's doing, first of all, we have to understand what Satan is doing. So Satan is above all the adversary of God. The adversary of God. And in your Bible, Satan has about 40 different names. It's incredible. Names like Abaddon, the accuser of the brethren, the adversary. Apollyon is a name for Satan. Belial. Beelzebub, that old dragon, and the old serpent are names for Satan, and there's about 40 of them. And the name Satan actually means, it's descriptive, it actually means an adversary, or the adversary. Now, an adversary is an enemy, but an adversary is much more than a simple enemy. An adversary is a determined foe. An adversary is an opponent. He's always there. He's always poking. He's always prodding. He's always probing for a weakness in your defense system. He's always looking for a way to get in, to attack you, to bother you, to harass you. He is your adversary. He's much more than an enemy. So we need to understand who Satan is and was, and we're trying to do that this morning. So first of all, I want to talk about what is Satan's origin. Where in the world did this being come from? Why is he such a problem to us? What is his origin? You can look at Ezekiel chapter 28 if you turned over there. In verse 15. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till or until iniquity was found in thee. Satan is a being that was created by God. I didn't think God created evil. He didn't. What's that verse say? Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created. When God made Satan, he was perfect in his ways. He was perfect in his ways. Let's look at another verse. The point I want to bring out here is that he was a created being. He's created as an angel. Isaiah 14 and verse 12. Isaiah 14 and verse 12 says, it tells us that before his name was Satan, he was Lucifer. That was his given name when God created him. He was Lucifer. Lucifer means the light bearer. Lucifer means a bright one, a shining one. Now in 2 Corinthians 11:14 points out that Paul points out to the church there that they should not be surprised that false prophets can make themselves as ministers of Christ. Because Satan himself can transform himself into a minister of light. So it seems that he has retained some of his created abilities. As Lucifer in Isaiah 14:12, he had a position of great honor in the heavens of God. He had a position of great privilege. He was over all the other angels in heaven. And the Bible says that he was the anointed cherub over the throne of God. That's something. He was the highest angel in heaven. He was over all the other angels in heaven. He was the anointed cherub of God. And he served over the throne of God, praising God. I think he was the music leader. He was created with pipes. We'll probably talk about that later. But he was a beautiful creature. He was over the throne of God, and I think he led the angelic worship service in heaven, praising God as God was on his throne. So he was something. He was really something. Look at Ezra 28. I'm going to read this passage here. It describes Lucifer and his position. Look at verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. Now, king of Tyrus here is a type. And say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. When God created Lucifer, he made him full of wisdom. Thou hast been in the Eden, the garden of God, and every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. This was part of Lucifer's body. He must have been incredibly beautiful. Where did you go, Mike?
Where was that at, Mike?
Ezekiel 28. The workmanship of thy tabourets and thy pipes, there it is, his pipes, was prepared in thee the day thou was created. God made him a musical being when he created him. And thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, and thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. And thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou was created, until iniquity was found in thee. And by the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thine beauty, and thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, and they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, and by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, and it shall devour thee. And I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. And all they that know thee from amongst the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Wow. What a description. So, Lucifer became Satan. The reference to the beginning of time and before, and his being created full of wisdom. Verse 12 of that passage we read, we see that Satan's wisdom was corrupted. When God created with him with wisdom, he had godly wisdom. But his wisdom was corrupted. In verse 17, it explains to us that his great beauty and his creation as a musical being to praise God as a covering angel, and how he walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. This must have been God's great hall. The stones of fire, I'm not sure what they represent. We're not talking about them this morning. We're talking about Satan. He was in the holy place in heaven, walking there as Lucifer. Verse 15 says it was all good. As Lucifer, he was perfect in his ways. Folks, he was morally upright. He was without spot. He was perfect in his ways until iniquity was found in him. You see, as Lucifer, he sinned. Lucifer was created by God in heaven, I believe, with a free will, just like you and I have a free will. And just like you and I can choose to follow God if we desire, Lucifer chose not to follow God. Lucifer chose to rebel against God and go against God. And when he did that, he sinned, he fell, he lost his position in heaven, and he became Satan, the accuser of the brethren. He chose iniquity. He chose to sin. Then verse 17 tells us how this happened. He became prideful of himself. His heart was lifted up, and his wisdom was corrupted. And that brought about his fall. The warning to us, I believe, if you get something you're self-pride about, you have self-pride, you better watch out. You're in a dangerous place. When you have self-pride, it's, you better be careful. That's how Lucifer got messed up. Verse 18. Now, verse 18 goes into how Lucifer goes around in heaven, and he causes the other angelic beings in heaven that were under him to follow him. Of Satan, it says, "You defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities and by the iniquity of thy traffic." He was trafficking in heaven's holy places among the other angels. He was going around talking to all of them, sharing his ideas about how he was so wise and that they should follow him. And he actually gathered a following of angels. Powerful angelic beings followed Satan in heaven in rebellion against God. There's a verse in the Bible that says Satan swept a third of the angels with his tail. Maybe a third of the heavenly angels followed Satan against God. Thou defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities and by the iniquity of thy traffic. Satan sold his ideas to others. He did not keep his ideas in his own heart, but he trafficked in iniquity. He shared his corrupt wisdom with others in high places, Ephesians 6:12, and he gathered a following. Now look over there in verse 3. It says, God's saying of Satan, "Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee." I think that's what Satan went around telling the other angels in heaven. He actually convinced them that he was wiser than God. He convinced them that there was no secret that could be hidden from him. God had given him wisdom, and no secret could be hidden from him. Don't steal my thunder. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 14. Now, this passage here is known as the five I wills of Satan. I'm going to read from verse 12. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit upon the mountain of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High." This passage is contained the thoughts of Satan as he was preparing to rebel against the God of heaven. That he said, "I will ascend, I will go up into heaven." He's expressing his desire to be in God's place. Satan wants to go up into God's place in heaven, a place of position of authority. Satan wants more authority than God gave him. Next he said, and these next three are Satan's plan of how to do it. How to rebel against God. The next thing he says is, "I will exalt my throne above the stars." Then he said, "I will also sit upon the mount." Next he said, "I will ascend into the heights." And finally, the fifth one was his objective, his overall objective. He said, "I will be like the Most High." Now, to understand this, there are really three thrones that are outlined in this passage that Satan's talking about here. When he said, "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God," what in the world does that mean? Is he talking about our solar system? No. In Job chapter 38:7, I don't know if I got that one up there or not. I don't think I do. Job chapter 38 and verse 7, you write that down. Revelations 12 and verse 3 and 4, the stars are compared to the angels of God. So when Satan says, "I will exalt my throne above the stars of heaven," he's saying, "I will exalt my throne above the angels of God." He wants more power, he wants to ascend up, he wants the angels of God to answer to him. Satan wants authority to administer his will through the angels of God and over the angels of God. Satan wants to rule over God's creatures both in heaven and in earth. He's not satisfied just hovering over the throne of God and bringing glory to God. He wants glory for himself. He said, "I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." The sides of the north. This phraseology is used in Psalms 48 verses 1 and 2. It's a beautiful psalm. Psalm 48 verses 1 and 2 says, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion in the sides of the north. There it is, the city of our great King on the sides of the north. The same phraseology. There's a song we used to sing when I worked in a bus route. It's called from Psalms 48. It goes like this. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion in the sides of the north, the city of our great King. Boy, when you get a busload of kids, you get 65, 70 kids on a church bus, and get those kids singing this song, and sing it over and over and over. And great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. It gets in your heart, man. It gets into you. It's a great song. So when Satan says he will, on the sides of the north, he's not talking about Israel. Because when Satan said that, Israel wasn't even formed yet. Satan is talking about the mount, a place of meeting in the sides of the north, a gathering place. It's a place that the congregation comes and gathers. In Job chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, it tells the story about angels coming to a place in heaven and presenting themselves before the Lord. And Satan was there also. Satan had to come present himself before the Lord. Satan had to come before God and give an account. Satan does not want to give an account to God. Satan does not want the angels to give an account to God. He wants the angels in heaven to be subject to him. He wants the angels in heaven to give an account to him. So he will, says, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. He's saying he wants that for him. He wants the angels to give an account to him. The next thing Satan said was, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. This is a further ascending. He's one step. This is the third step. It's like a king going up steps to his throne, ascending to his throne. He wants a position above the heights of the clouds. Now, in the Bible, clouds are often used in association with God. Clouds are used to hide God's face from mankind. Clouds are used to hide God's strength, to hide God's glory, like in the tabernacle. Clouds are used and associated with worship of God, like in the tabernacle. And Satan wants that worship that God receives. Satan wants to be higher than his job as covering angel. He wants the very power, the very glory, and the very worship that belongs to God Almighty. Amen. And the last thing and statement, and last statement that Satan makes of his plan is his objective. He said, I will be like the Most High. That's his goal. He wants to be like God. You know, he knows he can't be God, but he wants to be like God. You ever think, what was he saying? What's that speak to us? Well, being like God is defined for us in Scripture. Satan says he would be like the Most High. The Most High is defined for us. In Genesis chapter 14, verses 17 through 24, the Most High is a title. And it means, the name Most High means possessor of heaven and earth. So when Satan says, I will be like the Most High, Satan is saying, I'm going to be possessor of heaven and possessor of earth. Satan wants God's possessions. Satan wants everything that is God's. Can you imagine that? As a possessor of heaven and earth, Satan would become the ruler of heaven, the ruler of earth, the owner, the receiver of services that are granted to the ruler of heaven and earth, the worship that is granted to the owner of heaven and earth. Satan as possessor would resemble God. I will be like the Most High. I will be possessor of heaven and earth. So to be like the Most High, he has to accomplish that. Satan has to become possessor of heaven and possessor of earth. Now we have already seen how Satan usurped the heavenlies by going around and trafficking his ideas among the other angels and getting them to follow him. Now, then we come to the story of man. And God made Adam the monarch over the earth in Genesis chapter 1, 27 and 28. When God did that, God placed Adam directly in Satan's way, in Satan's path to become possessor of the earth. Because God gave it to Adam. God gave it to mankind. Now that's in Satan's way. It's hindering Satan from becoming possessor of the earth. So then we have the story in Genesis chapter 3 of how Satan usurped the monarchy of the earth from Adam and Eve through deceit and deception, and they led them to sin in the garden and led them to lose his monarchy over the earth. Mankind fell and Satan became the prince of the earth. So right now, the Bible says Satan is the prince and power of the air. He's possessor of the heavenlies. It's hard to imagine. And he is the prince of the world. He's possessor of the earth. Now, I confess, I understand quite a bit of this material that I'm sharing with you today. But I do not understand it. For the life of me, I cannot understand how Satan, being created in the position he was of authority in heaven over all the angels, very close to God, over his throne, how he could think that he could take something that belonged to God and suffer no consequence for it. Did you ever think about that? How could Satan think that he could take what's God's and God not going to do anything about it? He's not going to suffer a penalty for it. I thought about this and I'm speculating, I don't know. Maybe he looked at God's mercy. Maybe he looked at God's grace. Maybe he looked at God's kindness. Maybe he looked at God's creation and he thought, hey, this guy's a pushover. I can take this and God will just move over and let me have it. And maybe he'll go create another one all for himself and I can have this one for myself. I don't know what he thought, but it's really astounding how Satan thought he could take something from God Almighty and get away with it. What we do know is that Satan's wisdom was corrupted, and maybe that is why he thought that, because the Bible said in Ezekiel 28 and verse 17 that Satan's wisdom was corrupted. We also know that Satan got bad counsel. When you make a major decision in your life, do you seek counsel of others before you make the decision? You make a financial decision, do you seek counsel from your banker? Well, Satan sought counsel, and he got bad counsel. Isaiah 14:13 says of him, "For thou, Satan, hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." See what happened here? Satan counseled himself. Satan took counsel of his own heart. Now, we've already seen that his wisdom was corrupted. So when he counseled from his own heart, he got back corrupt advice. He got bad advice because he counseled with himself. There's another area we should pay heed to. When we begin to make plans in our own sinful wisdom, better watch out. Jeremiah 17:19 tells us that our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. So be aware of that. So Satan has a plan. He's laid out his outline and he puts his plan into action. And Satan's first title was Lucifer, the anointed cherub of God. And the other two titles that Scripture gives of Satan assures us that his plan was successful. In Ephesians 2:2, the Apostle Paul calls Satan the prince, the power of the air. So the Apostle Paul is admitting that Satan has usurped authority in the heavenly places. John 14:30, Jesus is being tempted by Satan on the mount, and Satan offers Jesus Christ all the kingdoms of the earth if he would worship him. And Jesus doesn't correct him. Jesus doesn't say, these are not yours to give. Jesus acknowledges that Satan is the prince of the world. These two titles prove to us that Satan's plan was successful. Satan was not created a prince. He was created a covering angel. So the fact that the Lord calls him a prince proves that he became a ruler, a prince. I'm going to chop it off right there. Well, we've learned a few things about Satan this morning. If you've been with me, we are to stand against the wiles of the devil. And to do that, we need to know our enemy. Satan's name means adversary. He's always there. He's always in the background. He's always in this timeline. He's always under there, poking and prodding and seeking for a way to have an advantage over us. He was created as an angelic being. As Lucifer, he was God's covering angel. And he became Satan in eternity past. And he came out of eternity past, and he goes all the way over to just the beginning of eternity future when Jesus Christ sets up his millennial kingdom and casts Satan into hell to burn forever. Well, for 1,000 years. He became Satan in eternity past, his iniquity, until iniquity was found in him, and he chose to rebel against God. He usurped the heavens by claiming he was wiser than God, and his wisdom was corrupted. I didn't cover that. Where did I have that? Romans 16:25. Look at Romans 16:25. Somebody read that out real quick for me. I'm going to get you out of here early. Don't worry. Who's got it? Clarence?
Romans 16:25, now to him that is the power to establish according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the ministry which is kept secret since the world began.
Now look at 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 8. So the mystery was kept secret from the beginning of time. The mystery was kept secret. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 8, who has that? Keith.
Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
So if they'd have known about the mystery, they wouldn't have crucified Christ. So Satan did not know everything. God kept a secret from him and revealed his manifold wisdom to the whole world when he kept the mystery a secret from Satan from the beginning of time. Because if Satan would have known that, he wouldn't have crucified Christ. So these are some things we have learned about Satan this morning, and I hope that it was a blessing to you and that you learned something that will be helpful to you in your Christian ministry. Amen. Norm, would you close in prayer for us, please?